We're in the middle of the end, towards the end of Mitzvah Kuf Chav Tes 129, which is the Mitzvah of Asham Vadei, that certain sins don't have chatas for bringing them, for performing the sin, but rather you have to bring a special korban called an Asham, which is an ayal, a ram, which has a value of 2 slaim. So we discussed all the cases, all the types of Asham Vadei, as we remember in Ezu Mekoman, which we're supposed to say every day. We list all the types of Ashamos: Asham Gezelos, Asham Meilos, Asham Shivcha Harufa, Asham Nozer, Asham Etzora. So if you steal something, or if you had to perform Meila, you use something in the Beis HaMikdash for your own purposes, or you have relations with a half-freed maidservant who is betrothed to someone else. And if you were a Nazir, or you were a Nazirite, and you became Tamei by contact with a dead body, or if you were a Metzora, you had the affliction, divine affliction of Tzaras, and you're becoming Tahor from that, so you have to bring an Asham. And then we have a different type of Asham, which we discussed, of course, which is called Asham Tolui, which is when you don't know if you performed a sin that carries with it the penalty of Karis if you did it on purpose. So if you're not sure whether you did it or not, then you bring an Asham Tolui, a dependent Asham, a Suffolk Asham, which is different from what we're discussing right now, which we call an Asham Vadai, which is for certain sins that you know you performed them, so you bring an Asham Vadai. Now we're in the Shorshei HaMitzvah section. Mishorshei HaMitzvah Leval Yachshav Adam Shafal Pi She'inyan Iser Gzeilas HaMamo Nitak La'asei. The reason you have to bring a korban if you steal something with openly is that you shouldn't think, oh, stealing isn't so bad. You know, I steal something and I'll just pay it back. So what's the big deal? So
they
have
borrowing?
What?
Could you call it borrowing if you say you're going to give it back?
If the person allows you to take it, then yes, it's called borrowing. However, if you if I have the Sefer HaChinuch and I say, I'm using your Sefer HaChinuch, and the person says, no, you can't use my Sefer HaChinuch, they say, sorry, well, I'm taking your Sefer HaChinuch for a while, and don't worry, I'll give it back. That's absolutely gezel. That's gezela. That's stealing. Definitely not allowed to do that. So, Shenemar v'hishivas ha-gezela, so we have a restitution for performing the sin of gezela, of stealing, theft. Robbery. Gzila is, I guess, a better translation is really robbery, because it's something you do not stealthily. So the gneva is when you steal something stealthily. You sneak into someone's house and you steal something. You say, well, you know, I really need to put an addition onto my house, so I'm going to go steal $100,000 from my friend, and you know, because I need it now. You know, I don't think he really needs it, so I need it now, and I'm going to pay it back. So it's not so bad. The Torah says you can't steal, but if you do steal, you have to pay it back. So if I pay it back, so then I'm off scot free. I have a clean slate once I pay it back. So that's
delusional.
So that's what the Torah is telling us, that you have to bring a korban when you do gzela. Because it's telling you that this is an absolute sin in and of itself. It doesn't really, the restitution, you know, is nice. If you steal, then you have to pay back, but it's not, it doesn't wipe your slate clean. So it's not as if you, it doesn't make it as if you never performed the sin. And because if that were the case, that would be a great Pesach, an opening that for people to think, oh, it's not so bad, let's just do it. So the Torah doesn't want to open even the slightest opening crack of in the laws of the Torah for somebody who might sin based on this. Even if you pay it back, and then you have to pay also a chomesh in addition when you pay back the gzela, just like you have to pay a chomesh, a fifth, or what we would call 25%. In addition, when you, even though you do have to pay back with the Tosefis, and you do tshuva, you still need a korban to finish your kapara, your atonement for the sin. Still, even with all the kaparas, even with trying to make amends as much as possible, you have not, you still violated something that God told you not to do, so it's, unless you have absolute full tshuva in a meaningful way, it doesn't really wipe your slate clean even with this, that you did what you're supposed to do, but you still should feel a little guilty that you violated that which God has told you to do, or not to do. V'chavala reishe davala rava demari shmaya velo yakriv kam imrim shmeinin la'alosa. So it says that if you violate the will of your master, then even if you offer up many rams, so it's still not totally making up for all that you did. V'sham kosafti gam kein shakorban v'akeren ma'akvin esakapara v'enachom eshmakev. So the adding of the fifth, or what we would call 25%, does not prevent you from receiving atonement for your sin. That's simply a mitzvah saseh, that's a positive commandment that you have to do it, but as long as you pay back the actual thing you stole, and you offer the korban, just like by Me'ilah, so you consider it to be have full atonement for your sin, you're just still lacking the fulfillment of the mitzvah saseh, the positive commandment, to add on a chomesh, a fifth, 25%, to that which you stole. Dine hamitzvah, the lachos of the mitzvah, kigon beize inyan yischayev b'shavua zo, sheyeh achayev aleha asham zeh, uveize inyan yeh poter b'menu. So what type of shavua do you, in other words, you take a shavua that you don't owe someone money, but you really do owe them money, which is the case of bringing an asham vadai for swearing falsely. So in what cases are you, what types of shavuas are you chayev for, and which types are you exempt from the bringing of a korban? So it's either, our handy little note here says that it's in Shavuos, the Masech Shavuos, it says that bein mushba me'atzmu, bein mushba me'acherim, that whether you state the oath of your own accord or somebody else administers the oath and you answer amen or something to that effect, then you're still chayav as long as you deny that you owe the person money. And it's the actual amount that you owe him and not any type of knas or extra penalty that you have to pay for this type of illegal possession. So like adding a chomesh for stealing or something like that you didn't steal from this person and his money is not in your possession, then you could say, if you say, no, I don't owe him the money at all, then you will be chayef for the korban. But if you say, yeah, no, I paid him the chomesh already, but you didn't actually pay the chomesh, the extra penalty for stealing, then even though you denied money in court and you took an oath to that effect, then you would not be liable to bring an asham vadai, which we call asham gezelos. Val eze derech yischayev ashamos harbei kemenyan chiyuv hashvuos, val eze lo yischayev ela asham echad. So what if you take many different types of oaths? So when do you have to bring just one korban, and when do you have to bring another korban? The rest of the details are explained in Maseches Krisos and Maseches Shavuos, which is where you exactly where you want you expect these things to be. Benoheges mitzvah schiyuv korban zeh bizman habayis v'zecharim unikevos, males and females, ulver aleh v'lohi krivo, you didn't sacrifice it, afa b'sheshiv gzelo, lo niskaper cheto, that even though you paid back, you still haven't received atonement for your sin, v'ulam yesh lahamin she'en onsho chazak kemo shaya ilu lo heshiv amamun, even though we don't find any indication of this explicitly in Chazal, that your level of atonement is somewhat... No, the level of lack of atonement is still somewhat... You think that you wouldn't get atonement at all. You think that you paying back and not bringing the korban, you would get zero atonement. The Sefer HaChinuch says, no, it still seems to be logical and reasonable that you still had a little bit of atonement and your way to go to full atonement is not as far as it was before you were originally. V'amashal al zeh, l'mi shehikach averu v'nischayev k'nas l'melech, that let's say there's a law in the kingdom against hitting people, so, and if you hit someone else, then you have to pay the king, not just the person that you hit, you have to pay the king a fine. V'nispayas al hamuka, so then you hit someone, and then you say, oh, I'm so sorry I hit you, please forgive me, and the person that you hit, in fact, does forgive you, so you still have to pay v'lo nishra al rak tfiyas hamelech, so even though the king wasn't directly injured by this act, you still owe the king money, so it's not that you're totally zero any part of the way to having a atonement for this earthly type of misdeed, but rather you did sort of half the deed. You didn't get full atonement yet because you still owe the king money, even though you did make peace with the person whom you hit directly.
This extra payment of the fifth,
yeah.
is this a kanas or is this?
Yeah, kanas.
You know, okay. So the bismana zeh doesn't apply because the usual reasons the based in doesn't.
Correct.
Have
yeah. Okay. We wouldn't connect. We wouldn't collect a kanas nowadays because a kanas is only extra fines are only collected with judges who have real smicha from Eretz Yisrael. We talked about it a few times. There's a difference between real smicha and the smicha that we have today, which is really just a heter hara, which is just from your teacher saying that you're allowed to pasken questions, that you're not going to make too big mistakes. But the real smicha, where you're really an expert and considered to be a bearer of the Torah Shebal Peh, that's when you would judge these types of cases with what we call a knas, which is an extra fine, which we don't do, which we don't do nowadays. However, there still might be an obligation to pay it anyway. In Maseches Krisus and Shavuos. Okay, Mitzvah Kuv Lamed, the 130th Mitzvah. Mitzvah Hashavas Gezel, which is very related to the Mitzvah that we just discussed, which is the Mitzvah that if you do, in fact, rob somebody, then you have to pay back that which you robbed. Shinstavinu Lahashavas Hagzela Ben, we have to return that which we stole, the exact thing that we stole. Kolomar Shim Hadavar Mamish Shigezel Huetzlo. So that if you stole a particular thing, like let's say I stole this bookmark, and now it's in my possession.
And you tore it.
And you ruined it, you tore it, then you have to pay.
Then, Shechayv Shivu Nigzal, Kemoshu Veloshi Kchenu La'atzvo V'itein Domo La'nigzal. So let's say this was a vintage bookmark that was painted by the great Aryeh Gregor, which with silver, with real silver paint right here, and real crushed sapphires.
Right.
An expensive bookmark. So, in that case, so if that were the case, then I couldn't just say I really like this bookmark. And let's say this bookmark is worth $500,000 because it's a real classic. It's a real classic. So as his mother could tell me exactly from what period of his work it came from. And so let's say he's worth $500,000, but I really like the bookmark. If he tried to sell it, so he couldn't sell it for more than, that's what he would sell it for, $500,000. So I can't say, I grabbed this bookmark. Now I'm going to pay you the $500,000, and that's it. I don't have to give you back the exact bookmark. No, I have to give back the exact item that I stole. We learn in Maseches Bava Kama, Torah Rabbanah Veishivas Hagzela Asher Gozal, Matam Lomar Asher Gozal, Yachzer Kein Shegozal. So we have a word considered to be an extra word over here, that which you stole. You should, in other words, it doesn't just say he shall return the Gzela, he shall return that which he stole, but he has to return. Veishivas Hagzela shouldn't return the stolen object. Asher Gozal adds stolen object that he stole. So why does it add the words that he stole? The stolen object that he stole. So the Torah is telling us, right, exactly. So it has to be, no, that's not, money doesn't count like that. It means not, this is only still an object.
If you tore it, if you whatever.
Then you have no choice but to give back the value. If you destroyed the object, then you do have to give back the value. But if you still have the object in your possession, then you have to give back the exact object. Bim nishtane sagzela birshuso shel gozel chayev lashiv dameha opater b'chach. So let's say the object was changed, like I just said, then when it was in the domain of the robber, even though the owners didn't lose hope of ever getting it back, we know that in similar case in halacha, so for example, when somebody loses an object and you have to return it to them, so the time period that you have to, once the person is misyayish, who gives up hope of ever getting the object back, then you can keep it for yourself. But here, but then here you don't. You have to, even if the person gave hope ever getting it back, if you stole it, it's much worse. So you have to give it back, the actual object back, unless it had some change while it was in your possession, in which case you just have to pay back the money. So what type of change exempts you from giving back the exact object that you stole? It's a change where the object can never turn back. If it's something where technically you could have it turn back to its original state and give it and return the original object to the owner, then you would still have to do that. But if it's something that's absolutely unchangeable from its changed state, let's say you stole wood and you burnt it to heat your house in the winter, then you can't give back that object anymore. Now it's ashes. It's no longer wood. It can never return to its original wooden state. So let's say you stole a gigantic log and you chopped it into little logs to use the little logs for some reason. Or if you dug pits in it to use the wood for a certain thing that required that. Let's say you stole wool and you dyed it. Now it can't go back to the color that originally was, ever. It can only...
It might be prettier.
Right, it might be prettier.
Or you wove it into a sweater.
Or you wove it into a sweater. That would certainly be... wouldn't it? Right, that would certainly be a shinoi. Oh, hagozel matve... Right, that's the next case that he says. Hagozel matve v'atzumenu beged, you stole yarn, and you would knitted it into a sweater, right? V'chol kayotze b'za, and anything like this. Aval hagozel luchoseitz, but let's say you stole beams, building beams, right?
Classic.
Let's say you walk into a construction site and you take out some of the beams that they're using. Afal pi shebana mehen teva ein ze shinui. Let's say now you use these beams to build a bookcase. That is not considered a change. Shehari afshar lefarik osan, just take them apart. Bein chozer and luchos kemo shehayu. It turns, you could just take it apart and it'll be right beams exactly the way it was originally. Ulefikach chayav lahachzer osan be'en. So anything like this, where you could take it apart and it would be go back to the original object, then you actually have to return the object, that the actual physical object that you stole still. Shorash ha-mitzvah yadua, the reasoning for the mitzvah should be obvious to all, that society has to function in a normal manner, and if people are going and robbing each other, then that is bad. Dineha, Kigon, Mashamar Rabbosenu Zecharim Levracha, Kamati Agzela Sheishchayiv Hagozela Shiva, how much do you have to steal for the mitzvah of returning it to kick in? Kol gzeila shava pruta, has to be worth at least a pruta, which is the weight of forget the exact measurement. One seorah, one barley of silver. It's considered to be the smallest monetary unit the halacha recognizes. Aval pachos mikan, less than that. That's why everybody gets a pruta for their chametz on Pesach. That when you go to the goy to sell your chametz, so the goy has to give a down payment. So the smallest halachically sanctioned down payment is what we call a pruta. So every rabbi before Pesach has to keep track of exactly how much silver is worth. So you have to know how much the certain measure or weight of silver is worth, and the goy has to give a down payment of that amount of money for each person whose chametz he's buying. So the goy comes stacked with tons of coins. And it gives each rabbi who's selling the chametz. Sometimes a penny. It could be, in theory, but it's usually more efficient to use quarters. So if you have a pruta as a nickel, and you have five people selling their chametz, so then, first of all, then you wouldn't be able to use a penny, because a penny would be less than a pruta. But if a pruta, so then you could just give a quarter instead of five nickels. And sometimes he'll round up, so he'll say, let's say they're only... So let's say a pruta is a nickel, and you have three people selling, the rabbi selling a chametz on behalf of three people. So the goy doesn't have nickels, so he's not going to give you 15 cents. So all he has is quarters. So he'll say, well, rabbi, would it be acceptable to you for me to give a quarter as a down payment instead of 15 cents? And he'll say, yes, I'll be willing to take the extra 10 cents as part of the down payment. Then he gets all it back anyway. I don't know what he does with all these quarters after Pesach, but...
Does laundry.
Goes back to the bank.
Probably gives them back to the bank, yeah.
Laundry.
Aval pachos mikan. Afal pisha avar al iser Torah. Midaraisa, you're not allowed to steal even less than a shvei pruta. You're not, even a kol shehu, you're not allowed to steal.
One grape from the supermarket.
Right. That's a gzeila min ha-Torah, unless they're not makbid. So there's a whole discussion of... Is that true?
No, probably they don't mostly, but if they did. I mean, you walk around in the Associated and you say, oh, gee, do I want the purple ones or the green ones? Taste one. They don't like that. I'm sure they don't like that.
So if the store is makbid, that people should do that, that's Gzeila Midaraisa.
Yeah,
not allowed
absolutely
to do that. Yeah. But certain stores, maybe some stores are makbid. I don't know. Maybe they'd rather that you taste which one you like and then you buy a whole...
A bunch of them.
I don't know. I don't know what the mentality is. And so the Gemara has a discussion of this. And there's a question as to whether it's better to do this in Jewish stores or Goyish stores. Because in Jewish stores, they might be more open to other Jews, you know, giving a little taste to other Jews. But on the other hand, they might be more makbid on the money. So and maybe goyish stores, they don't care about. They're not so makbid on the money. So they don't mind if you taste one grape, even though you're Jewish and they're not. Yeah.
Thanks.
You have to investigate. We have to ask the store owners what they really think about people who sample produce. You have to make sure that you're not over on Gezeila D'oraisa. Right. Lufi when we get to the actual prohibition, now we're talking about, it's sort of out of order. Now, first the Torah talks about repaying the which you stole, and then only later does actually state the prohibition of robbing. But we'll explain more in detail about that later.
In this instance where you're trying something in a store, whether you know, if you don't know whether the owner would approve of that or not, you're asking an employee who's around, because the owner of the store is not there. You're asking an employee, he doesn't care, he doesn't own the store. Can I taste it? Can I take one of these for tasting? And he says, yeah. So are you potter?
It depends if he's authorized to make that decision or really stating something in the name of the owner. If the owner instructs all the employees, if somebody asks you, then...
I doubt very much that that's the case.
No, but in other words...
You don't know.
Right, you don't know, so you can't. Know. Yeah.
So you can't...
You could ask him.
So
no, if you ask...
You ask, you're not Potter. You're
no, probably...
Stealing.
No, I think... Does the owner allow...
The owner's
allowed. Yeah, so hopefully he'll be honest about that, yeah. But managers, even if they're not the owner, are usually authorized to make little decisions like this. Yeah. I think if you do your hishtablus, if you really honestly investigate to the best of your ability whether it's the policy of the store is to allow you to taste or not, then I think that's probably okay. But I wouldn't make assumptions, because you don't know. I mean, it could be look online. Maybe there's a whole store owners forum where they're discussing what their policies are about people tasting their produce. I don't know.
People taking a grape.
Yeah.
Feel me a grape.
So, I don't know. Lefish Yisrael b'nei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov nedivim b'nei nedivim heim. The Jews are very generous. They don't care. They don't care about money so much. And it is a little funny. Anyway, yeah, but Yadua Adavar.
What century?
We're a people who's full of contradictions. Shekol shehu pachos mishvei pruta afil ani shebi Yisrael mikemen shenigzal mimenu mochel oso ve'en cheftzo acharav klal. That is interesting because you think that the reason that you don't have to pay back the stealing if it's less than a pruta is because that's the smallest monetary amount that the Torah recognizes. So it's for a technical reason that you don't have to pay it back. But the Sefer HaChinuch is telling us that it's not a technical reason. It's a very... real halachic reason, which is that the Jews, if somebody steals less than a straight pruta from them, they're so generous that the assumption is that they will forgive the person this debt, and they won't have to pay it back based on the strict halacha, not simply exempt for a technical reason. So it's interesting to note that. Yeah. Avikach Amar Zechronim Livracha Shagozel Shalosh Agudos Sheshavos B'Shas Gzela Shalosh Prutos. So let's say you stole three bundles of produce that were each worth, at the time that you stole it, one pruta, so the total was worth three prutos. V'huzlu bi'aragazan, they became cheaper. V'amdu al shtei prutos. Now the three are only worth two prutos, so now they're only, each one is only worth two-thirds of a pruta. Afal pi shehechzer hashtayim, chayv lahechzer hashlishis. So even though you returned two of them, so now each of them... is now you're only left with one that's only worth two-thirds of a pruta. You're not left with one that's worth a pruta even. You still have to return it. Sha'achar shas gzeila anudanim. We go according to the time that you stole it. Uchvar haisa shvei pruta be'osasha. And that one bundle of produce was already worth a pruta at the time that you stole it. So gozal shtayim sheshavos pruta v'heishiv achas. So if in the opposite case, that if you stole two that were worth a pruta together, so each one was only worth a half a pruta, v'heishiv achas. So gzeila yeshkan, hashiv gzeila einkan. And they're different, that's interesting, because there are different girsos, different readings about exactly what this means. So our girsa here in the Sefer HaChinuch means is that you were over on the mitzvah of gzeila because you stole two, because the amount that you stole was, obviously it means also to steal even a kolshu, but you were over on the technical amount of gzeila that you would have to return, but you didn't perform the mitzvah of hashev gzeila, you didn't perform the mitzvah of returning the gzeila, because you did not return something that was actually worth a pruta. And the other girsa is Gzela ein kan, heshev gzela ein kan, that you have neither stealing nor you didn't steal because you didn't. It's not a technical violation of the gzela that you have to steal, that you have to return, because the maisa you returned half of the thing and you can't return now a shvei pruta, but you still haven't performed the mitzvah of returning the gzela because you haven't performed the, you haven't returned the amount that you stole, which was a pruta. An increase in value we'll discuss a little bit more later also. V'dina yeush v'shinu rishus rabim. The halachos regarding the, if it's in someone else's rishus, and now it's in the property, the domain of the purse of the robber, and then the person loses hope of ever getting it back. There are many details about this. V'chlal hadavar kein l'fi anira min ha-gemara. So I'm going to summarize basically based on what I think from learning Maseches Bava Kama. She calls man sheks. That's what we learned my first year in YU. We learned Bava Kama, these parakim. She calls man shekzela biyad hagazlan. Oh, afilu biyad bana velo nishtanis. That as long as the thing that you stole is in the possession of the robber or his sons who now inherit the obligation to give the thing back. Even though that we know that the robbed gave up hope of ever getting his item back. That how do you know that this person gave up hope of ever receiving this object back? He said, you hear him telling people, "Oh my gosh, enough. It's chaval. I lost this thing. You know, chaval." That he's already coming to terms, as we'd say in English, with the fact that he's not going to see this object again.
Still not happy about it.
Yeah, you don't have to be happy about it. Certainly not a requirement. The Araisa law is that you have to give it back to the robbed person as much as it is, exactly as it is physically. That even if it increased in value when it was in the possession of the robber, the amount that the stuff that it increased or produced for was in the possession of the, is now belongs to it belongs to the person who was robbed. That even if it produced extra things, then it belongs to the robbed person. The Torah tells us that you have to give back the thing that you stole. That even if it didn't change, you still have to give back everything. Even if it produced, based on this, you were able to produce extra things. Like, for example, you stole an animal and it had baby animals or something like that. So we have a very interesting concept when it comes to robbing, which is that Chazal, even though the Torah law regarding what you have to pay back is very strict, Chazal wanted to make it easier on you to make some sort of restitution to the person that you robbed. So the Chachamim decreed that you don't have to fulfill the exact Torah law in many cases. So one of these cases is like this. That anything that it produced after the time that the owners gave up hope of ever getting it back now belongs to the gazlan himself, the robber, instead of having to go back to the original owner. So in this case, so for example, if you steal a sheep and it has a baby lamb,
then it belongs to the owner.
Then if it has the lamb after the original owner gave up hope of ever getting the sheep back, then now the baby lamb belongs to the robber.
That's very subjective. Take advantage of
that. That's the point. You are giving an opening for the thief.
You shouldn't.
No,
because I'll explain right now. Because if you the thief stole the sheep, right?
Yeah.
And now it has a whole litter. Now the sheep gave birth to 10 baby lambs, right?
You stole 10 baby lambs from the guy now.
Wait, let him finish. Yeah.
The sheep had 10 baby lambs. Now the owner's like, not only do I have the original sheep, now I have all these delicious lambs. Now if I want to return the object to the owner, I have to give up my entire litter of lambs. I have to give up my entire lamb feast for Yantif. I can't do that. I know this person. I feel bad. You know, the guy's looking for his original sheep. And, you know, really, I should give it back to him, but I can't. I just can't bring myself to part with all the 10 baby lambs. So Chazal decreed that because of that, so you only have to give back the original sheep and not all the baby lambs, in order to encourage the person who stole to make at least partial restitution. So he still has to give back. He still has to pay for it, right? So now the original owner still he gets the amount that it was mashbiach. He gets the amount that the object produced since the guy stole it, but he doesn't get the actual objects. Udavar zeh yesh koach biyad chachamim la'asoso. The chachamim have the power to do it. Lefisha bechol davar shebemamon, any monetary object, heimichom la'asos kebo kechefzam. The bezin can do whatever they want. La'afilu keneged tzivui ha'torah. Even something that's not—it's against what the Torah system explicitly dictates. Kemushi yadua shehefker bezdin hefker. We have the principle that when the bezdin declares something ownerless, it becomes ownerless. So even though the Torah requires you to give it back, the Chachamim can say, "No, since this is, we declare this to be ownerless, and we now, and so it's going to belong to the gazlan is going to belong to the robber instead of the person that from whom he originally stole it." So the Farshim, by the way, this is a little bit difficult paragraph to understand. Lefikach goy shegazal vishpiach bein kodim yosh bein la'achar yosh. So let's say it was a non-Jew who stole. That, in other words, the laws regarding stealing are generally the same for non-Jews as for Jews, but and it goes both ways. The Jews are not, non-Jews are not allowed to steal from Jews, and Jews are not allowed to steal from non-Jews. So we're talking about this whole system of the takonas hashavim, the way Chazal established it, does not apply to goyim. So if a goy stole, and it produced extra things, whether before or after the original owner gives up hope of getting it back. O Yisrael gazlan shemachar lagoy. Let's say a Jew stole, robbed, and he sold it to a goy. Vishpiach hagoy, and now the goy gets the caused it to become produce more things. Hashevach lenigzal. So still, all the things that it produced. Again, these three words are added by the later commentators, because they couldn't make sense of this paragraph otherwise. So hashevach l'nigzal, then the stuff that it produced goes still at all points goes back to the original owner. Mechara lifnei yirsh, but if the Jew stole it to the goy before the original owner gave up hope of getting it back, hadini masheni kimoim harishon b'shavish ein sheni rishus osekinyan ella achar yirsh. So it still it goes according to the they would maintain the same status of halacha because the change of rishus only makes it kin and only changes the status, the monetary status of the object after yush. But if it was before yush, so it continues to be subject to the same halacha. Aval achar yush bein shay oso yush achar shebasa gzeil yad lokech o b'od shayisa b'yad gazlan. But after the guy gave hope of it, whether the fact that he gave up hope of it was after the object was already purchased by the purchaser from the one who stole it, or while it was still belonged to the hand, but was still belonged to, was in the possession of the robber. So since we have the principle of Yush and Shinu Rishus, then the person who bought it now completely owns the object, and the only restitution that has to be made is monetary and not the original object, because we have a combination of what's called yush, giving up the original owner giving up hope of ever getting it back, and shini rishus, now it belongs to someone else. Then the person who owns it, not the robber, but let's say the robber gives it to someone else now. So then we have Yush and Shin Rishus, and now the first person completely owns the object, doesn't have to go back to the original owner, but the person who stole it, the robber, still has to make financial restitution of the value of the object. The Moso Gazlan Shemecharolo Hu Gazlan She'eno Meforsam. So if this person is not a known Goslin is not a famous robber whose poster is all over the FBI website. Tia shelo legamre vein chayev lahashiv klum lenigzal. So then he had no reason to suspect that this was a stolen object that he just bought. He doesn't have to pay anything. He doesn't have to give anything back to the person that he stole from. That was originally stolen from. Eliyelech lo hanigzal v'yaseh dinim hagazlan. It's totally the purchaser is totally out of the picture. It's totally now an issue between the person from whom it was stolen and the robber, and they have to work it out in Beis Din. Who gazlan before some? If you buy it from someone who's like you see in the movies, so then your person is known to be a robber. Yes, definitely, yes. But if it's somebody who is known to be a robber, a famous robber, then you should be suspicious that when you buy something from him that it was stolen property, and then it's still considered partially your responsibility. So chayev l'hashiv alokech demei hagzela l'nigzal v'yaseh dinim hagazlan. So then we have a different halacha. Then you're responsible, the purchaser is responsible to pay back. You don't have to give back the original object because there was a yush and shinu rishus. There was giving up hope of getting it back, and it changed hands from the original Goslin, the robber. But you are responsible for giving, since you're a little guilty because you should have known it was suspected it was stolen property, so you have to give financial retribution to the person from whom it was stolen, the original owner, and then you sue the robber for the money. Anyway, but that's right. That's a whole different case. But the question is, so now who gets the headache? Basically, so in theory, the financial, the financial loss should be the same. That really the person who actually robbed the object has to pay the money. Is going to get the loss out of his pocket. But the question is, who gets the headache now of having to deal with the robber in Beis Din? V'dinei hagzela. So how far does a robber have to go to when he does tshuva to return the object to its proper owner? You have to go from Eretz Yisrael to Media, which is by Persia. It's a long trip in those days. You have to go as far as possible to return the object. You have to go really far. So let's say the plane ticket is very expensive, you can't afford it. This is another things that's takanas hashavim to make it easier for you. So you shouldn't say, I'm not schlepping to Madai. I just can't. I really want to give back this object, but I just can't. So in order to make it easier for you to start to make retribution, so that you are allowed to. What?
Restitution.
I mean, restitution. Restitution. So you're allowed to deposit it with the Beis Din and say, this really belongs to this person. I'm sorry I stole it. When you come across this person, please give it back to him. V'din gezel gozal koro v'na v'bira mayyehe aleha. So we have that technically the din should be that if you stole a building beam and you built it into a building, and now the person comes and says, you stole my beam. I want my beam back. I want that beam. I am not accepting any other beam. So technically, on the Daraisa level, you have to destroy the whole building in order to give back this beam to the original owner. But it's again part of the Takanas HaShavim issue that the Chacham decreed that you can just give back the monetary value, because you might be more inclined to say, no, I didn't steal that, and try to cover it up if you have to destroy your whole building. So the Chachamim decreed that you could say, yes, I'm sorry, I did steal it, but now I can only give you, I'm sorry, I can only offer you the value. V'din gazel v'yishuv rotzel hachzer b'midbar. So let's say you stole something from someone and then you get lost together in a desert. And you say, oh, it's perfect, now I can give it back to you. So the person has the full right to say, the person from whom it was stolen has the full right to say, no, I want it back in the city. You're responsible for giving it back to me. You are responsible until we get back to the city. I'm afraid I'm going to lose it here in the desert. I'm afraid it's going to get damaged or change value. It's too heavy, something like that, whatever. So you have to give it back to me in the city when we can, when you're responsible for it until then. But din gazel v'hikdish, it doesn't work, because in order for it to make hekdish, in order to to offer something to the Beis HaMikdash, so it has to be yours and it has to be in your possession. So the gazlan, the robber, can't offer it to the Beis HaMikdash because it doesn't belong to him, and the original owner can't offer it, can't be makdish it, sanctify it to the Beis HaMikdash because it's not in his possession. Gazal Tlev and Asa Ayol Madino. So let's say you stole a lamb and it became a ram. It grew up. So that is considered to be, it's a machlokas in the Gemara, but that Maisel Paskin, that's considered to be a shinoi, an absolute change, even though it's the same animal, and you only have to pay the monetary value back to the original owner. Vidin shvach haba machmas yoker, if something simply increases in value but doesn't produce new things, she'eino min ha-takona el-chozer le-nigzel, that's not part of the takona, that you get the increase in value or more stuff it produces. Rather, you have to pay, they give the whole original thing back to the person you stole it from. She'll tiknu le-gazlan es-ha-shvach, achariyo she'el go'en shvach gizos uv-lodos, av-shvach ha-yoker lo, the only takona where if it increases in value or produces new things, it belongs to the robber after the original owner gives up hope of ever getting it back. That's like, let's say it's like we the case we said before, that it has babies, or it was shorn before and it produces wool and you take the wool. So those types of things that the gazlan gets to keep and just has to pay the monetary value. Aval shvach hayoker lo, but if it simply increases in value, then that does not belong to the robber. Badin tokeif eved chaver vaso bo malacha. So let's say you force someone else's slave to do work for you. So you don't have to make restitution because you're still doing sort of a good thing for the owner of the slave, because the slave is getting in the habit of work. So it's not going to start to get lazy. Vidin tokeif svinaso. Let's say you commandeer someone else's boat. So you just have to pay, if you are doing it in a manner of stealing, then you just have to, of robbing, then you just have to pay the amount that you damage the ship. V'din hadar b'chatzar chavero, is that what you say? What he says? V'din hadar b'chatzar chavero shelo midato, you also don't have to pay unless this thing was designed to be rented out, in which case the person is really losing on it. This all explained the last few prakim of Maseches Bava Kama, where it talks about the laws of stealing. But no, I guess b'chol makom v'chol zman b'scharim v'kevos, male and female in all places and all times. Over aleh v'gazel v'lo heisha b'tel aseiza. If you violated this and you stole and you didn't return the object, if you neglected to perform a positive command, v'ad halav shaver b'shas gzela. That's of course we didn't get there yet. As I point out, we didn't get to the actual prohibition against robbery, but certainly you violated the negative commandment against robbery, but you didn't perform the positive commandment to make restitution either. Vein lo, lemisha biyadu l'takin hamuvas, veino masakin, of oilo, lemisha biyadu l'takin hamuvas, veino masakin teramosu. You have to be very careful. It's considered to be a more, even, it adds an extra measure of severity to your death if you die without having made all this restitution, so you should make sure to make restitution of all your things that you did against someone else before it's too late.